is Over the Garden Gate, a program brought to you by the University of California Cooperative Extension Master Gardener Program of Tuolumne County. The mission of the UCCE Master Gardeners is to provide research-based gardening information to the public. If you would like to contact our Master Gardener Program, please call our hotline, which is area code 209-533-5912. The hotline is not manned full-time, but we do pick up our messages and we will get back to you within the week.
Well, hello everybody. This is Debbie Powell, the Master Gardener Coordinator for Calaveras and Tuolumne Office. And I'm at the Sonora UCCE office right here in downtown Sonora, talking to the president of the Tuolumne Master Gardeners, who is Lisa Page. Hello, Lisa.
Hi, Debbie.
How are you doing?
I'm good.
Well, good. One of the things that we've been working on this morning is we're kind of just loosely, and it's very loosely, but it's a creative process in planning for the next year, which is, believe it or not, hard to believe, 2019. Isn't that even strange to say?
Yeah, and it's right around the corner, too.
I know, it is right around the corner. Talking about, so there's a lot of activities that are planned for the coming year. A lot of returning activities, but a lot of new ones. So one of the most popular returning activities, which I think just about everybody has heard about, is the event called Save Our Polystyrene, which used to be called
Save Our Styrofoam.
But that's actually a trademark name, so
it kind of messed up our SOS.
I know. So now it's Save Our Polystyrene. But that is so popular, especially because people have received all kinds of presents in Christmas time, and some of them, believe it or not, are packed in a lot of styrofoam.
Yeah, and we also are accepting the colored polystyrene food containers as long as they're clean.
Okay.
And if you can, and you have a bunch of them like I do, put them in a separate bag from your larger
polystyrene. Oh, the larger items?
It makes it easier. We will unload your car for you. You don't even have to get out, so you just drive right up.
Isn't that nice?
Though everybody likes to get out and chat a little bit, it seems, sometimes. But
right, I bet.
We try to coordinate this event at the same time with, I believe it's the hazardous waste drop-off day at Waste Management also.
Right.
But, we've been doing this at least since 2008, I believe.
Oh, even before, I believe. Or no,
yeah,
I think
started in 2009,
right.
And I think it was still relatively brand new. But we decided to start doing it twice a year pretty early on because people really like the idea of the polystyrene not going into our landfill.
Oh, that's huge.
And the nice thing is that they actually recycle. Dart Manufacturing, who takes the styrofoam for us now, recycles it and reuses it for, I believe, new food containers, or absolutely positive.
Well, it's pretty interesting because they're one of the suppliers of, if you've ever gotten anything at a fast food outlet that's in styrofoam, they have probably, there's a good chance, I mean, I don't know exactly, but they've provided it for the vendors up here or the restaurants or, you know, fast food or whatever it is. So to make sure it doesn't go into the landfill, they've offered to pick it up from Waste Management. So they've offered to do it twice a year, and our Master Gardener, Katie, who's in charge of the event, she's successfully negotiated that. Once they receive that styrofoam, from my understanding, then they in turn have to haul it all the way to Los Angeles, where it's reprocessed again into
containers.
Right. What are the days in 2019?
Well, we're going to have Saturday, January 19th. We'll be there from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. So, like I said, you just drive up. It's on Microtronics Way, which is right next to Waste Management. There'll be signs up to direct you if you haven't been there before. It's also going to be held on Sunday, January 20th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Oh, good, good. So 2 days.
Yeah, so for those of you that maybe ran out of time on Saturday.
On Saturday.
Or if you go home and you find out that you missed a bag or two, which
oh, that happens.
We have had that happen. Yes.
I bet.
But please, please, if you're in a truck, make sure you cover your load. We had a nice woman last year that kept coming back because she had found stuff that had fallen out on the road and she was picking it up and bringing it back
gosh.
To us.
Oh, gosh. Well, yes, that's a good tip. But that's not the only thing that's happening next year. Then we're also planning for the open garden events.
Yes, at our demonstration garden, the first Saturday of every month, long as it's not a holiday weekend. So we go from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. We start out the year with some topics that are usually, you know...
very popular.
Popular, but they're in tune with what you need to be doing.
Timely. It's very timely.
Yeah.
In fact, one of our most popular topics, it sounds like it's a very simple thing, is fruit tree pruning. But believe me, that...
It is actually simple.
Is it?
But I don't know about you, but the first time that I tried to go out and prune something... I took my book with me, I looked at the book, I looked at the tree, and I'm like, I don't know.
Oh, yes.
I was told by a past master gardener that the worst thing you can do when you prune is to not prune. So,
well, that's true.
So if you come down, our master gardeners will show you, take you around to the fruit trees that we have on site at the demonstration garden, and you'll get to see up close and personal how to do it and make it a little less intimidating.
That's true. And it's one of those skills, from what I understand, talking to other people that are involved in landscape, there isn't a lot of people that really know how to prune, because I know most of us had grandparents or somebody in the family that had a fruit tree or some kind of bearing tree. They knew how to do it, but a lot of us now just don't know how to do it. You know, those skills haven't been passed on.
Yeah, I think back to my grandmother had cherry trees, and I think it was my uncle that would come
that would come over and prune the tree.
Because my grandfather was no longer around, but yeah.
Yeah.
But I didn't participate in that at the time, so I didn't get it passed on to me.
Right. Well, just one of the items, one of the topics, and we're still planning other topics for February, but...
another important topic for February is getting your soil ready for planting your vegetables in the spring.
That's true. And that's another very popular topic. And then, you know, going into March, you have to take care of grapevines.
And we have grapevines at our demonstration garden.
It's true.
And it's also a good time to, you know, winding down on lower elevations, but to be pruning your roses.
That's true. That's true. You don't want to forget about that. And that's in March. You do a topic typically talking about...
getting your seeds started your vegetable seeds started for your summer vegetables. Because believe it or not, you need to start that early if you want to get a good jump on your planting season. But on that note, back in February, February 23rd, every year there's been a collaborative event that we do with Focus, which is a local group. Focus stands for Foothill Collaborative for Sustainability.
I love that title.
And they do an annual seed share where they offer non-GMO, organic, mostly heirloom seeds, vegetables, and herbs, and I think spring and summer vegetables, where you can come in and you can purchase seeds like that for, like, I think it's $10 for 10 tickets, and you can get 10 packets of seeds.
Oh, my gosh.
And the money that they raise from that goes to buying seeds for school programs.
Right.
So that'll be February 23rd.
which is so much fun. And this year, it's going to be in at a new location.
A new and improved location.
Yes.
Where we have the Tuolumne County Senior Center next to the library on Greenlee Road. So we'll be accessible to people from Columbia, Jamestown, and up the hill. And then there'll be more parking, and I think we're going to have a lot better room.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I believe you're going to be in the dining room, which is a real nice large room.
Plus, we always have Master Gardener homemade goods for sale at that
event. Oh, that I would go just for that.
Oh, yes.
Master Gardeners are the best
yes,
cooks
yes.
in the world.
We had an overabundance last year.
Which I don't see a problem with that.
Which I was good with that, yeah.
But, yeah, so every kind of going back to the open garden events,
right.
It's the first Saturday, 10 to 1. So there's a lot of things planned for the whole year. And maybe, do you want to talk about Kids Day in the Garden for June?
Oh, I don't know how many years Kids Day in the Garden's been going on. I worked at my first Kids Day in the Garden in 2009. And it's become a really popular event. We do so many free activities for kids. Usually, I mean, kids of all ages, and the adults try to squeeze in there, but we have a day for that in November.
Yes, Family Crafts Day in the Garden.
But we have elementary K through 8 usually are the ages that come.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually have crafts that are doable for
little
all
kids
ages,
too.
Little
yeah.
kids. Hands-on. Getting their hands dirty, glue, all, you know, just whatever
glitter.
We can come up. Yeah, glitter.
Yeah. I mean, all kinds of things.
Stuff that you might not like having in your house because you don't want glitter in your carpet and stuff.
I know. I remember glitter in the carpet days.
Yeah.
Glitter. Typically, it seems like there wouldn't be a lot of information booths open even this time of year, but it turns out that there is an information booth that the Master Gardeners are manning, and that is called the Farmery.
The Farmery in Columbia on Airport Road. The ladies are there the Farmery itself is open every Wednesday and Saturday year round, and it's an indoor farmer's market, so you can go in there and buy produce. But you can come and talk to Master Gardeners for free. They're there from 11 to 3 on Wednesdays and Saturdays.
Right.
And if they're not there, there is information on the table.
Mm-hmm.
And you can always leave a question written down for them, and they will
point.
Submit it to the hotline.
Right. And then our hotline, of course, that never stops. We've got Master Gardeners that check it weekly. It might be, and we anticipate it's going to be rather slow this time of year, although... You know what? I have to correct myself on that because
yeah.
I understand Marion was saying that questions about Save Our Polystyrene.
Oh, yes.
Really have flooded the hotline as far as when it is and just all the details.
So,
that's
yeah.
on the hotline.
And if you're on Facebook, be sure to go to Master Gardeners-Tuolumne County Facebook page because we're trying to keep posted upcoming events that are going on
yes,
on, that on
good,
a constant
good
basis.
Tip. But if you do need to call the hotline, it's 533-5912. And again, they'll get back to you on that.
And you can also email from our
yes,
Master Gardener webpage.
Right. You can do that. If you're on the Central Sierra Cooperative Extension page, the Master Gardeners have a page, and underneath that, it's broken down by county, and Tuolumne County has a page. You can directly ask a question there. But in addition to that, there's all kinds of information that is posted, long range, short term. Right now, they have posted, I noticed, December gardening tips, which
I've been posting on our Facebook page.
Which is so good.
And by the way, you can ask me a question on Facebook. I have
true.
Been messengered on Facebook before, and I have actually connected with a client last summer.
Oh, fun.
That way. She posted some pictures of some problems she was having with her vegetable plants, and that's how that relationship got started.
Great. Well, believe it or not, Lisa, we already ran out of time, but I know we'll be talking again in the future.
Yes, we will.
So, everybody, thank you so much, and we'll see you soon. Bye.
Bye.
Hello, everybody. This is Debbie Powell. I'm the Master Gardener Coordinator for both Calaveras and Tuolumne County, and I'm back at the UCC office here in Sonora, and I'm talking with our wonderful Tuolumne Master Gardener, Linda Reevely.
Hi, Debbie. How are you today?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. I hear we're going to talk about rainwater today.
Yes, we are, and I have to admit, I'm very envious of this project that you have been working on, and I understand is now complete.
It is. And I now have 10,000 gallons of rainwater storage capacity.
What does that look like? That's hard to envision.
Well, right now, actually we have 10,300, but what it looks like is four really giant black water tanks, two on each side of our shop building, and then a 330 gallon tank that's behind there that we use as a transfer tank.
Okay, and so you're collecting the rainwater off your shop.
We are.
Only off your shop.
Only off our shop.
And you will receive enough rainwater to maybe fill up all those tanks?
We certainly hope so.
Okay.
It's going well so far this year, although we've not had a great deal of rain. The little bit of rain that falls produces a tremendous amount of rain on your roof that ends up in a tank. I have statistic here that says 1 inch of rain on 1,000 square feet of roof can generate up to 600 gallons of water.
That's amazing. That's a lot of water.
That's a lot of water. And because we are fortunate enough to live in California, we are legally entitled to collect the rainwater that falls on our own roofs. We are not legally entitled to, say, take rainwater out of a pond or a stream on our own property, because that water that falls on the watershed is essentially actually the belongs to all of us.
Okay.
Until it ends up in a reservoir that belongs to somebody, like say TUD had a reservoir, which I don't know that they have very big reservoirs. The water that's in there then becomes theirs to sell as
okay.
they see fit. But for ordinary people, we're not allowed to collect water except that lands on our buildings.
Isn't that something? Now, is that true for all the states within the United States?
No. If you, for instance, live in Colorado, you're not allowed to collect water off your roof.
So is
they
that,
can't. They don't do rainwater collection there because it's not legal.
It's not legal. That's an amazing concept.
I think so too. Why? I have no idea why, but that's the way that's operating things.
So we're very fortunate.
We are very fortunate. A few years ago, 3 years ago now, my husband and I put in a small orchard. It's got 21 fruit trees. It has about 12 grape vines, and it's got, I think, 6 blueberry bushes.
Well, that's quite a few.
It is, and it's in a very small space. We're pruning these trees to intertwine with one another, and we're keeping them all quite low. We're not letting any of them get above 8 feet tall. And as a result, or more, any wider than about 6 feet wide. As a result, we have a very compact area that we need to water. And we're watering that with the water from our tanks, which are actually on a hill up above where the orchard is, so that it falls by gravity to where we can water the orchard with it, with the hose.
So will you be able to only use, will that orchard get all the water from those tanks, or is this a supplement to maybe another water source?
Last year, our water tanks, and we only had two last year, 5,000 gallons, carried our orchard into August.
Oh, that's wonderful.
After that, we had to use our TUD water to water the trees into fall. But next year, with the additional 5,000 gallons that we put in this spring, we think it should carry us through the whole season.
Oh, that is great. That really is.
It's really great.
Now,
it's really great. It works really well. These are big black tanks. We purchased them. We live in Tuolumne County. There is no level place anywhere on our property that I can think of. And so we ended up putting in terraces we started off with cinder block walls. We put in gravel bases. And then we very carefully position these tanks on these flat gravel bases so that they're perfectly level.
Okay.
The tanks are all plumbed together.
Okay.
So the one feeds into the other, and then
right.
they all feed across into the whole system. They have fillers that fill from the gutters on our roof.
Okay.
you buy these things online. That's where we got ours. It's a thing that goes where your gutter goes down. You put this in right in there, and they're designed so that if they get leaves in them, the leaves and things go off one way, and the water goes out and essentially right into my tanks.
Oh, that's wonderful.
It's
Now,
really cool. It works really well too.
okay, so now, would you consider this non-potable water? I mean, you don't ever drink.
I would never drink this
Okay.
water. It's been on the roof of the shop where indeed lots of birds have been, and you know, it's just not totally clean water. We do filter it some so that it doesn't clog up the system, but and we aren't worried about watering the garden with a little bird water. That's okay.
Right,
But I would
right.
not drink it. This
Okay.
is essentially just for irrigation purposes.
Okay, that makes sense. Now, would you consider this free water?
I sure would, other than the fact that the tanks and the installation and all of that was a relatively expensive process that we really don't. It kind of depends on how expensive water remains in Tuolumne County. We can
Okay.
only see the price for TUD water going up,
Right.
in which case at some point there will be a payoff date with how much we put into these tanks and the systems and all the work that went into producing them. And the fact that my husband had to measure each thing about 5,000 times to get it just right, so these things are perfectly level. And then we had to push the tanks onto these gravel pads, which took a lot of engineering and some really clever thinking about having pipes and special places for the tanks to go on. And then we roll the pipes out and drop the tanks onto the gravel to keep them level and everything smooth and
Can I
clean.
ask a really, I know I'm not supposed to really ask this question, but can I ask you how much it costs generally, like a ballpark? Or.
Two tanks cost, I think the two tanks, the first two tanks were somewhere about 1,000, and the
Okay.
second two were a little bit more than that.
So it's not cheap.
It's not cheap. And the plumbing and the things that go with them, those are not exactly cheap pieces either. But it's ultimately, it gives us access to water that we don't have to pay for.
Right.
And through the rebate program, which I understand has now gone by the way, we managed to recoup 30 cents a gallon for our process.
And that was a rebate program that was offered through Tuolumne County Resource Conservation District.
It was.
But going back to your rainwater collection system, it must give you a sense of security knowing that you have a certain amount of water for your orchard, because these trees take a lot of water.
Orchard trees take a lot of water, and plants like blueberries take a lot of water. We are really fortunate to have our orchard space be below our other space because, among other systems, it really isn't legal to pump water.
Okay.
So you have to, when you put in your system, you have to realize that it's not legal to pump water. You have to be able to gravity feed it.
Oh.
And if you have enough head pressure on your water tank, meaning the tank's full enough, it will
Right.
push water out of a hose at a pretty good clip. But as that amount of water goes down, the amount of head pressure is lessened, and your flow will trickle down to where it isn't already.
Okay.
So you have to have a downward slope,
Now
and
the if
it
I
works great.
it it sure sounds like it does. So when the water comes out of the tanks, what system are you using to irrigate the trees? Is that a
Well,
hose or
that system's called my husband.
that system?
And he wanders out there with the hose, which is
Okay.
hooked up to the water tanks, and he has a timer, and he stands by the tree and waters it for so many minutes.
Oh,
And
okay.
it takes him, oh, 45 minutes, I think, to do it. But at that point, he also looks at the trees and does a little pruning and keeps the weeds out.
And what is the reason he's timing it?
Well, he times it so each tree gets an equal amount of water.
And he knows how much water is coming out of the hose.
He does. We've timed
So
that.
he's calculated
We
it.
fill up a bucket with a timer so we know how
Okay.
much you get a gallon in how long. So he knows, and then he feeds so many gallons to each tree. And it's
So
so
it's
far.
not just a random system. He's got an actual calculated system, even though it's with a hose.
He does. He does.
He knows how much
water
each.
He knows how much
water
each tree is getting.
Okay.
And we had one tree fail, and we finally realized that that one is because it was a little bit lower than the other trees in clay. And while you would think clay would be wonderful because it holds water,
right.
The problem with a lot of clay is it doesn't release water for your plants.
Absolutely true.
And
that is a big problem.
Clay is a big problem with fruit trees. And most of our orchard has worked fine because we put in a tremendous amount of other material mixed in with the clay.
Mm-hmm.
But we realized we had one little clay pit, so we took out the dead tree and we dug up the entire area, a good 4 by 4 foot circle, 4 feet deep, four
okay.
feet around.
Okay.
And we mixed that clay with compost and wood chips and put it back in there and planted a new tree, and it's doing beautifully.
Oh, good. Good.
So,
I'm glad to hear that. Now, does he have a water well around each of the trees? Have you
he does.
Gone? Okay.
We have a water well, and we mulch around our trees with pine needles, which is a little bit cleaner for us than putting leaves around them or even wood chips. And pine needles degrade more slowly, so they're not such a nitrogen draw.
Okay. And
when wood chips deteriorate, they're real nitrogen draw.
Right, right, because they need the nitrogen to decompose.
To decompose, exactly.
Right.
Organisms that decompose wood use a lot of nitrogen.
A lot of nitrogen.
But pine needles are much slower. The resinous quality of pine needles makes that whole system different. Different bacteria work on them. So we mulch around our trees with pine needles.
Where do you get the pine needles?
Well, my friend brings them to me when she cleans her yard.
Okay.
It's great. She doesn't have to go to the slash pile or the slash site. And she just brings them in big bags down to my house.
And how deep are the pine needles?
Is 4 or 5 inches.
That deep? 4 to 5 inches?
And we keep them away from the trunk of the tree.
Okay.
There's a circle around each tree that we made by cutting plastic jugs in circles and then making a slice
right.
so that you could open it and put it in there. We put that around each tree, and then we mulch right up to the level of that ring. But we keep them away from the tree so that the tree does not get fungusy at the
base. Oh, okay. Because trees just don't like any of that moisture
right up next to the trunk.
Yeah.
Just don't like it.
But this prevents the water from evaporating out of the ground, so all the water that you've collected off of your shop roof
does
now
not run off.
Right.
It stays right where we put it.
Or it evaporates. I mean, it doesn't evaporate, which is wonderful.
We do also have a drip system.
Okay.
A complete and fully functioning drip system that runs on county water, TUD water.
Okay.
And it has a timer, and if our tanks run dry, we simply turn the other thing on. Or if we travel, we turn the other system on, and it has a timer. It waters each tree for so long, each number of days.
And drip systems are wonderful because,
amazing.
It's exactly where you want the water. And
we found that for orchard trees particularly, we like sprayers rather than standard drippers.
Now, the sprayers are a little bit different than what would be typically known.
And what we're finding with the sprayers is that you get a much quicker visual ability to figure out what's going on. You know if you have a sprayer messed up instantly just by glancing at it. Where with the dripper, you have to dig under the mulch and look and make sure the water's going through.
Okay. But they're bigger droplets, aren't they, from the sprayer?
They are.
So it's not wasting water either.
Nope.
Because it's not the fine spray that, I mean, when people normally think of sprinklers.
They think of fine spray, but this isn't fine spray. This is a coarser spray designed for orchard trees.
Okay. Well, Linda, we ran out of time, but I want to thank you.
Well, it's been fun.
It has been fun. I thank you so much, and we will talk again.
Great. Thank you,
Goodbye.
Debbie. Bye.
You've been listening to Over the Garden Gate, a program presented by the UCCE Master Gardeners of Tuolumne County. I'm Linda Reevely. Thank you for being with us. If you would like to contact us for more information, remember you can contact our hotline, which is area code 209-533-5912, or you can look us up on the kaad-lp.org website. Look for Over the Garden Gate. Thank you.